Morning, Donna.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Morning. No, I just thought that was a wonderful report, and it educates all of us, I think, more, and hopefully will help society's understanding and of Paul and the issues he told us about so well and so clearly.
You know, the reason I thought that interview was so special is that I have done stories before and when we have talked about children and their own identity, be it their own sexuality, or be it in this instance their own identity, but we talk about them, we very rarely hear from them.
Yeah.
And it was just because he was that articulate at such a young age that it certainly made me think.
Yes, and very, very, very good of him to come on and speak, because I think that will really help other children and young people and their parents and those in society as a whole to really understand what he's talking about.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room here. The elephant in the room is Paul living in a country, Northern Ireland, where he will be accepted? Is there a younger generation coming up through that will be more accepting of people like him than maybe the older generation? Is there a culture change in Northern Ireland? Or will he have to move away when he becomes an adult because he won't feel free?
I would hope that. I mean, he's growing up in a big world with all sorts of people, all sorts of attitudes. But I think hopefully we can have maybe more faith and confidence in the young people he's growing up with and their understanding and hearing more about these issues. Older people may have their views and their opinions, but I think it's really about education and learning about this and understanding.
Yeah.
I think there's no substitute for hearing directly from the person, as we've just done.
Like, that kid goes to school in a couple of weeks' time, big school. In a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, and he'll be going to school as Paul, and he'll be living his life, and just wishing him the very best with all of that. And as you said, he has his friends, and I'm sure lots of new friends to make in the future.
Donald, thank you very much. Rob in Belfast. Morning, Rob.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you doing?
Morning. Go ahead, Rob.
I just want to say about Paul, if he's listening this morning, that his story was absolutely incredible. And that he is an absolutely inspiring young guy who has taken this head on and had the gumption to speak to you on radio. And we see some of the highest rates of suicide and self-harm within the LGBT community because young people like Paul don't feel it acceptable to talk about these issues and the identity crises in which they're having. So by Paul coming out and speaking this morning, I can be assured, almost put money on it, Stephen, that it'll open the gateway for more young people to say, well, Paul did that. I'm going to talk to somebody about it, and I'm not going to build this up, and I'm not going to let it drag me down because it's who I am. So, you know, Paul has done a great service to young people across Northern Ireland and across the city. And I want to applaud him for it. He's a great ambassador for Northern Ireland. And also the strength from his parents, or his parent there, his mother, was you could hear it. You could hear the passion and the love that she has for her son.
Yeah, absolutely.
She also needs to be applauded for that, because it's not an easy thing as a parent to have to be told that.
Let's look at how some other people will be thinking this morning.
Sure.
Which is 11 years of age is too young. And I said to Paul this morning that there will be some people undoubtedly listening to this programme this morning that will be thinking that mum should have said, do you know what, make that decision when you're 16 or 17, and that she should have just, some people will think she should have just kept him with his options open until he's 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever age, when we learn a lot during the teenage years about ourselves, don't we? Now, what about that school of thought?
You know, well, before listening to Paul, I would have been off that train of thought and changed my perception this morning. because I clearly hear an articulated, intelligent young man making a rational decision. It wasn't something that he decided happened overnight, as you listened to him. He said he had these thoughts and feelings from maybe his 5 years of age. And I think it would have been detrimental and had quite a deleterious impact on him had he have been required to keep this, so let's call it a secret, for the following years to come. I think that would have been more damaging. I think what his mother done was show love and compassion. And she says, you know what? It doesn't matter what you are. You're my child and I love you.
Well, what's,
and I'm going to support you.
What's really interesting, Rob, about what you've said today is that that 11-year-old child has changed your mind.
Absolutely.
In one radio interview.
Yep, absolutely has.
Well, that's him being powerful.
Prior to that, Stephen, I would have said, oh, there's no way a child of 11 can make a decision like that. But I listened, and I listened intently to that young man, and I know my hand and my heart that that decision was not taken lightly, that this was something that this young man felt, and he quite clearly and articulately displayed and put it across in a way that changed my perception. As an 11-year-old can't make that decision.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. Dr. Michael Wardlow from the Equality Commission. Michael's the Chief Commissioner, was listening this morning. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning.
We noticed your text today, your tweet today. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't want to get into the sort of the medical and the factual detail. Two things, Stephen. One, I thought that was a very sensitive interview this morning. And I think it was courageous of you to do it, but it was probably more courageous for that young man and his woman, his mother, because, as I said in my tweet, you know, most people know about LGB, but the T is sometimes tagged on at the end, and people then have a big confusion about what transgender actually is and confuse it with sexual orientation, when what you nailed this morning was this is a young, someone who was born in a female body who from a very early age believed that they were male. And, you know, the figures are about 1 in 4,000 people in Britain, actually, you know, have some form of struggle with this. Now, I know there's all sorts of issues about what age and age appropriateness and so on. I think all I was doing was tweeting this morning to say it's a brave thing for him to do this. It's a brave thing for him at his age to be able to say how he felt, for his mum to support him. And I'm really glad that there were so many supportive texts on, because he's going to need that support as he transitions into big school. It's hard enough to make that decision when you go to big school.
There are loads of supportive texts. There are a couple that aren't supportive, but the vast majority of texts into this programme this morning are wishing him all the best. Well done, Paul. You're amazing. You've made me think again. You've made me think differently. All of that type of stuff.
I think there's a bigger story in this for you and for the media, because, I mean, when you talk to trans people, and we would in the commission deal with significant numbers of trans people, they would say that among the LGBT community, they're probably the most hidden and the ones that are most misunderstood by society at large. And it's because we don't talk about it, we don't know too much about it, and because we don't know, we're afraid of saying something. You know, do we call him? Is it her? At what point do they transition? And I do think that, you know, if the media were able to do this in public interest and have a discussion around it, I think it would be very helpful. And I think you've started that this morning, so congratulations.
What about, Michael, just finally, what type of place is Northern Ireland to grow up in 2015 if you are transgender?
Well, if you're looking at the practical experiences, when we have looked at social attitude surveys, you know, consistently, people would have a view that they really wouldn't like someone who's LGBT or T in the family. That you know, we're talking about a third to about 40% of people say that. Now, that's stats and figures. My experience in talking to youth workers would be that the young people who are coming in this place under 30 are much more likely to have a friend who's different from them. And whether that's colour or disability or race or specifically sexual orientation or, in this case, gender dysphoria, they're much more open to say, well, OK, we need to talk about this. We need to accept you how we are. I'm very hopeful for those under 30. I think those of us over 30, for whom the world's changing very quickly, need to be in a place where we don't live with the old myths and shibboleths, but we have sensible, hard conversations about this stuff. And there was a mother who's actually willing to do that. But it behoves the rest of us, Stephen, to make and steward this place so it's a safe place for him and other young people like him.
Michael, thank you very much. That's Dr. Michael Wardlow, the Chief Commissioner for the Equality Commission. Catherine. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hello there. What impact did that interview have on you, Catherine?
It really gave me so so much hope for Northern Ireland, to be honest. I mean, I grew up in Northern Ireland, and I felt like I had to go to London, and it wasn't until I was 23 that I could come out as a lesbian. And I feel like if I'd been growing up in the kind of time that Paul's growing up in now, then I would have been able to be honest with myself and with others about my sexuality a lot younger. And I feel like my life would have been a lot different. And I just think it's so brave of Paul to come on, and it's so wonderful to hear so many positive comments coming from people as well.
Yeah, so you didn't think that you could come out in the Northern Irish environment, was that it?
Not at all, no. I mean, I didn't even have the words for it. I didn't even really know what it was. I mean, I'm 30 now, and I remember Ellen, for example, and that was about my only kind of lesbian role model, whereas, I mean, I work in a school now, and there's a transgender person in the school, and, you know, she said to me, oh, you think I'm gayest, but no, I'm transgender. And I was like, oh, so our friends here are transgender, that's great. And and she was like, oh, is it M to F or F to M? And I couldn't believe that she even knew these terms. And it's wonderful, because there's so much information out there for young people, and they don't have to be constrained by the regressive culture that they might have been born into.
Paul will be listening to this morning, as will his mother. Mm-hmm. What would you say to him?
I'd just like to congratulate his mother, because his mother is so supportive, Paul felt like he could say that to her, and that he could be able to be himself at a young age, and the earlier we can learn to be ourselves, then the more full person we can be, and the happier we can be in the world.
Big school's scary for any of us. If you think of that transition, primary school and the big school, do you remember back? It's a scary enough time.
To be honest, primary school worse than secondary school.
You're finding your feet though, aren't you? And you're wanting to make new friends, and you're wanting to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that he does. I really do.
Well, I think that now, I mean, what I've, as I say, work in a school in London, in a big school, in a secondary school, and we have a number of kids who are gay who are out. I actually got an email from one of my students saying, I just came out to my mum over the summer holidays, and it's amazing how much the students in our school are accepted, despite the fact that it's got so many kids who are Muslim and people from other countries who have recently arrived, who you would think there would be a lot of homophobia towards them, and there isn't. And yeah, we're a Stonewall school. Stonewall have a program where they support schools in order to have a more open policy towards gay people, LGBT people. And so I'd really, I'd say to Paul, get in touch with Stonewall, get your school to become a Stonewall school. We made a music video last year, an anti-homophobia music video. Everybody loved the song. I mean, and I thought that we would be slaughtered by the parents. I thought that the kids would get all sorts of hassle, and we didn't. Nobody said anything. Everybody loved the song, and everybody loved what we were doing, and we haven't had any complaints from kids at all.
Catherine,
so I'd say to people and to allies as well, to just go out and say things and to support people who are LGBT, and you'll find that usually the backlash isn't as bad as you think it's going to be.
Catherine,
people are very supportive, as we've seen today on your show. So well done you, Stephen, for doing it too.
All right, thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Morning to you. The Green Party in Northern Ireland tweeting this morning, Paul was inspiring. It's great to hear this support for him. Norman disagrees. You're born a man or a woman. This child needs help and God in their life. No such thing as transgender. It's sin that changes people. Says Norman. David Spence, I've just listened to the most powerful interview in years on Radio Ulster. Good luck for the future, Paul. It feels like the right time for this type of interview to be done, says someone else. A great example of courage and love, says Brenda. It's absolutely marvellous to listen to this. Mary in Belfast. Morning to you, Mary.
Well, good morning, Stephen. And I would echo what all your contributors so far have been saying. What a brave and articulate young man. And I do wish Paul all the best. What a wonderful mother he has. I would just like to raise the issue of the big school. Personally, I think you did an excellent job in interviewing him as well. Let me not miss that. But just to raise the issue of big school, I would hope that the secondary school that Paul now graduates to, some schools can be very careless in their support of children. And I would hope that that school, whoever is listening, will be mindful that there are many different types of young people going to big school, and that the school will take care of Paul and support Paul, not only transgender young people, but young gay people and so on. So I'm hoping a lot of Northern Ireland schools haven't had a very good reputation for taking care of children with different needs in their classes. So I'm hoping the schools will be listening and will make sure that there's no bullying and there's no name calling and that all the young people get the support they need.
Mary, thank you. David in Belfast. Morning, David.
Stephen, well, as a gay man myself, let me tell you, I'm so proud of wee Paul. I think he done the right thing, and I'm glad he went the right way instead of the wrong way. I think his mother is absolutely fantastic, and I think people need to show him love and respect. And I'm so pleased he done the right thing, because an awful lot of young people, unfortunately, are in this position, do the wrong thing, and it's too late. And I'm so proud of wee Paul. So well done.
Okay, David, thank you very much indeed.